So let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. So this challenge given to slaves and masters applying to employers, employees. And what I'd like to do is zoom out and look at work from God's perspective. And we find a ton about work at the very beginning of the Bible in the first few chapters. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible. It actually begins with God doing work. This is Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning was the first day. The first thing that we see about work is that work is creative and it's in order. So if you're taking notes tonight, that's the first takeaway, is when God created the world, it's creative and it's in order. And of these 6 days of creation, God is very creative. The first day of creation, God takes darkness and he speaks light, and light comes into existence. So when we think about being a worker and being made in the image of God, we want to do work in a creative way and also end in order. So maybe you've been doing a job for a really long time, and when you were first on that job, you looked at it from a creative perspective. But now you've been doing it for so long, it's old hat. Maybe it's time to put some creativity into the work. Or we get so used to some of the work around the house that it loses its creativity. Take, for instance, laundry. It's like, man, this is what I always do when I do laundry. How about trying to listen to a podcast while you're doing laundry, or put on some worship, or say, hey, let's do this together and let's spend some time talking while we're doing laundry. That wouldn't work for me very well because it's hard for me to talk and do laundry at the same time. The quality of laundry would go way down. But what if you were creative with it? How about with food? Like, food is necessary work. We've got to make food for our families, we gotta make food for ourselves. Is there a way to be a little bit creative with one meal a week and say, we're gonna try to make this one meal special for it to be festive and gather together our family, maybe gather together some friends that we wouldn't normally invite in? God expresses his glory in his creativity. And for some of you, you are very creative and this is easy for you. And for others, it's like, I don't feel like I have a creative bone in my body, but God may give you some creativity. And I think it does keep some spice in work when we seek the Lord and we say, Lord, how can I come about this with creativity? But then also there's an order. As you read this account of the 6 days of creation, God is very specific in his order in the way that he creates things. And I think God's giving us an indication of how to do work. I'm really thankful for Pastor Robert here at the church. He's assistant pastor, administrative pastor, and he's really gifted in administration and systems and in order. And there'll be a lot of us that have ideas and things that we desire to see God do, and Robert will think of the systems behind that to help it make a reality. And when we think about work, a lot of times we might be missing that order piece. And there's some of you that are very gifted on the order side, and some that are very gifted on the creative side, and usually that comes together. So maybe you need to be pressed in creativity, maybe you need to be pressed in order, but think about some of that work that has to happen every week at home? Is there some order that could be a blessing? Maybe there's a lack of order, and bringing it to a place of order in your work outside of the home, is some order a benefit? You know, maybe every day when you're going off to work, it's always the same stress. I just feel like I'm headed out the door. I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. I'm pressing to get some food, get dressed, get on time, and I'm barely getting in there. Say, okay, what order do I need to change? You know, what systems do I need to put in place so that I could get to work 5 minutes early and be a little bit refreshed? So that's what I see first in work from the Lord in these 6 days of creation. And then let's jump down to verse 24. This is the fifth day of creation. We're going to see another principle with work. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And here it is. Here's our point. And God saw that it was good. Work comes with a reward that is to be enjoyed. That's one of the understandings of work, is there is a reward that comes with it. There's that moment that says, you know, Lord, thank you so much for allowing me to have this opportunity and the ability to work. And here's some fruit that's come from the work, and it was good. And God, I'm going to glorify you for it. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, he said he'd learned how to be abased, but he also learned how to abound. How to handle difficulty, but also be able to handle blessing. When was the last time that you got groceries? It was payday. You worked hard and were able to go to Sam's Club or Costco or King Supers, Sprouts, get some groceries, and you got home and you just said, it was good. Lord, thank you so much for providing these groceries. I actually think it's healthy, even though it's hard, to go through some times where, like, I don't know if I can afford groceries. Because when you've been through some of those times, then you're like, man, thank you so much, Lord, for providing these groceries. Or when you write out that mortgage check, you make that mortgage payment online, Lord, thank you so much that we were able to pay the mortgage this month. Or you pay rent at your apartment, and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you so much that I could pay rent. Or you're pressing in at your job and there's a breakthrough, right? There's a project that goes well and you're like, oh, it was good. Maybe you're serving in an element here at the church and God works in someone's life and they come to know Christ, or someone chooses to get baptized, or there's a marriage that gets restored. To stop and pause and go, it was good. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes about this. The importance of enjoying the fruit of your labor. And it, not in a prideful way, because we haven't done it. God's the one who's given us the opportunity, given us the ability. Every good and perfect gift comes before the Lord, but it's stopping to give him praise. It's stopping to enter into it and celebrate and say, Lord, thank you for the fruit of my labor. And sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. But if we step back, it's almost like God's stepping back here and he's looking at what he did in the fifth day and he's like, it's good. Yeah, this is some good work here. And this is repeated through the first part of Genesis here as God's recounting his creation. In fact, the only time that he says it's not good is when Adam's alone. Adam's alone and God's like, this is not good. We need to create Eve. I think that this is a special opportunity as well when you see the fruit of someone else's work. You know, in your family, your spouse is working hard and you see the reward of it. Like, man, praise the Lord. Isn't that cool? God's really blessed the work of your hands. You see your kids work hard and there's some fruit that comes from that hard work. Is take a moment and rejoice and thank the Lord for it. You have a friend that there's some reward for their work, and to be able to rejoice and enter into that. It's an important part of work. So we go on and we get to verse 26, and I love this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that, let me turn the page, creeps on the earth. The third thing about work is best done in community. Isn't this an interesting verse where we find the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Trinity, having conversation with each other? Let us make man in our image. We don't have three gods. We have one God, but we do have the Trinity, where there's distinct persons inside of the Trinity where they have fellowship with one another. For all of eternity, before creation ever began, the Father has fellowship with the Son. The Son has fellowship with the Father. The Holy Spirit has fellowship with the Father and the Son. And in this creation account, it comes to creating Adam and Eve, and they say, let us make man and woman in our image, male and female. So that God is speaking, the Holy Spirit is hovering. We know that Jesus is the Word from John 1:1. So the Father said it, Jesus did it, the Holy Spirit's involved. There's the triune God that's seen in the creation account. So being made in God's image, we have the ability to work. And I believe that God has designed work in such a way where its best form is done with others. Don't you find work to be a lot more rewarding when you do it with others? It's not always easier. I was thinking about this week, but I can't think of too many jobs that are done completely in isolation without some type of partnership with someone else. You're usually in partnership with other people. And I think work and food, God designed to bring us into relationship with people. And that's why it's sacred. So God made us where we need food, and food is best enjoyed with others. He designed us to be able to do work, and work brings us into relationship with others. But what's the American way? The American way is solo. I fly solo on my work. I don't need to rely on anybody else. I get my stuff done, and it's more difficult when I involve others. And for us to see a biblical perspective of work and saying, actually, there's more reward for our labor when we do it together in community, and we see this example of the Trinity. I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Do you believe that? Two is better than one. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out one by one, didn't he? He sent them out two by two. His design was kingdom work is to be done together. We never see Paul doing ministry alone. We don't see him doing it by himself. He's always traveling with a few others, and they're serving the Lord together. Jesus had his 12 disciples. Elders are to lead the church, plural, not elder singular, right? So two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You go out to work in the yard and you do it by yourself, you get so much done. But you do it with somebody else, and you get a whole lot more done. Many hands make light work. Goes on to say, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You've maybe heard me share this story before, but I grew up close to a great aunt. I don't think it's very often that you know your great aunt. And she's great Aunt Bertha, awesome, godly woman, always served us ice cream when we went to her house. She had the most hideous collection of salt and pepper shakers. She had this whole wall of her salt and pepper shakers. But she was a widow the whole time that I knew her. She lived in her little two-bedroom house. She was in her 90s, and she fell and died in her kitchen alone. Like, there was nobody there to be able to help her up. And she was found a few days after she had passed away. I mean, that's terrible, right? Even being a teenager and thinking of my great aunt passing away like that, if you fall and you're by yourself, you don't have anybody to hold you up. You know, you're working and you're not working in partnership with someone, and you have a bad time, who's going to be there to support you? Even in your work life, your professional life, have you ever had a coworker come alongside of you when you were going through a difficult time? Or be able to see something maybe in your work where it was a weakness and be able to point that out to you and help you grow. Two's better than one. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by the other. Two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So Solomon's pointing out the value of two, but then he gives us the threefold cord. We know that third element is the Lord. If possible, if we're able to work together with Christ being the core, with Christ being the foundation. Now, that's not always possible as we do work with unbelievers. So we're a family of six, Amber and I and our four kids. And when it comes to work around the house, I just love it when I get to do it with Amber or the kids. So we've got a wood stove and we burn firewood, got my old pickup truck. And the world just seems right when I'm with Amber or one of the kids and we're going up to get firewood, loading it up in the back of the truck and unload it. It's way more rewarding than doing that by myself, right? Just get so much out of it. I have a lot of great memories with my dad doing work with him. Like, he loves to work and do projects, and like, there's a lot more happening than just doing work with my dad growing up. It's him and I bonding and sharing in relationship. There's a lot more happening with my kids when we do work together, when Amber and I are able to do a project together. Thinking of my years in ministry at RMC, one of the things that I value the most is being able to work together with believers, with fellow pastors, fellow staff members, you here in the church, those relationships that have come together through work. You know, at your end of your life and the end of your career, I'm sure you'll probably remember some of the work that you've done and some of the accomplishments that you've made, but probably what's going to be most worthwhile is the relationships that have formed through work one way or the other, where God has brought people into your life, you've been able to love them, then they've been able to love you, and you go, Lord, I'm so thankful for the people. So work is best done in community, and to really see God's model for that instead of the world's model. Let's look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Next point is work is assigned by God. We see that in verse 26 and 27. Remember, this is before the fall. This is before sin is entered into the world. It's perfect. Adam and Eve get to hang out with God in the cool of the day, having conversation. God creates them in his image and says, okay, I've got this job for you to do. I want you to be over this garden. I want you to tend it. I want you to subdue it. I want you guys to have a family, be fruitful and multiply. That comes with work. Kids come with work, right? So there's work with family, there's work with the garden, but the Lord's saying, you're made in my image, I'm a worker, you're created to work. And I want you to hear this tonight. Instead of just seeing work as a necessary evil to earn a paycheck, is see it as being assigned by God, saying, this is what God has given me to do, and one of the rewards that comes from it is financial needs are met, but a deeper reality can take place and I can worship the Lord. God's actually designed it to where there's work to be done in our homes. And instead of resenting it, is to say, okay, this is a way that I can worship the Lord, and God's actually assigned this work to me. If you're in that season of life where you're going to school, it's okay, Lord, this is what you have for me, so I'm gonna do it unto you. But it's actually for our benefit and our good that God gives us work to do. It's integral to his design for us. I think it's part of human dignity that comes with being made in the image of God. Like, how do you feel if you really have nothing to do for a long period of time? That's not a great feeling. It's okay for a while, but then you're like, I have nothing to do. I'm bored. I feel purposeless, right? Even a young child, when you give them the dignity to have the opportunity to work, like, hey, can you take your bowl over to the counter? Oh yeah, I would love to do that, right? Or, hey, would you help me make the chocolate chip cookies? Like, we all know it'd be easier to make the chocolate chip cookies without the four-year-old. That would be easier, right? But you're showing dignity and love to that four-year-old by saying, hey, would you make these with me? And then what do? Mom, I made chocolate chip cookies. Like, you have to try my cookies. And they're not the best cookies, and they're a little burnt. But mom loves them, and that four-year-old feels valued, right? If you go to someone who's elderly and you say, you know what, you have purpose, and inside of even the limitations of being elderly, here's a job that I need you to do. They go, oh, really? There's purpose for me? There's something that I could do to be able to help you? And so it's part of God's design that God would assign work to us. We're going to look at two more things in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Why did God rest on the seventh day? I think he was pretty tired. I mean, it was a lot of work. 6 days, speaking all this into existence. It's like, whew. No, God is not tired. He's not wiped out. That would be heretical. God didn't need the rest. He rests for an example for us. So the next point is work requires rest. In the way that God has engineered us, he didn't wire us to work 7 days a week. He actually created us to where we need rest. And he's given us an example. And he sets apart this seventh day for rest. And there's some confusion on this I'd like to try to clear up. Technically, the Sabbath is the seventh day. And for the Jews, the seventh day is when the sun goes down on Friday to when it goes down on Saturday. So if you want to follow the Sabbath in the strictest sense, it would be the sun going down on Friday to when it goes down on Saturday. That's how they count their days, from sundown to sundown. But the new covenant, it makes it clear that the old covenant was a shadow to point to us, to Christ, that the rest we're really looking for in the Sabbath is found in Jesus. And there's freedom, every day is alike, so you can choose which day that God would have you to rest. So say you've got to work on Saturdays, but you're off on Mondays. Then Monday would be that day of rest where you stop and you pause and you say, the normal work that I do 6 days a week, I want to not do that seventh day, and I'm going to set that day aside to enjoy the Lord, enjoy family, and be able to enter into rest. Cars have RPMs. You know, if you've seen that on your dash, you don't want to run a car too hot. If you run a car too hot, you're going to burn up its engine, burn up its transmission. And what happens to us if we work 7 days a week and we never rest? We're going to burn out. We'll literally get to that place where we'll burn out. If we live our lives where there's no margin, what do I mean by margin? When you look at a piece of notebook paper, there's the margin where nothing is written. You got to have some space to be still and know he's God and simply recharge and be with the Lord. This gets difficult because a lot of times our work is accessible from our phones, isn't it? We can check email, we get work texts. It's that diligence to say, I'm going to set my phone aside. I'm not going to check work email today. I'm not going to do work texts and phone calls today. And I'm going to rest and I'm going to give that day unto the Lord. Also, for the nation of Israel, God had a bunch of feasts for them. Hey, we're going to do this feast, Passover, Pentecost, and all of those feasts involved rest, worship and rest. So that rhythm of rest, of all of the countries in the world, Americans leave the most vacation days unused. Like, we think it's a badge of honor to say, I don't ever rest. I always work. Well, your employer, if you're blessed to have vacation days, values for you to be able to rest. So we want you to get rest. But we don't use it because we're the hero and we've got to continue working. Taking that one day off tests our trust in the Lord. God, do I trust that you're able to meet my needs through 6 days of work? I'm going to work hard 6 days a week, but that seventh day, I'm going to rest and trust that you'll provide for my needs. There's been a lot of research that actually shows you do better work when you're rested. When you have a day of rest or more, you actually are better at work than when you overwork and you're going 7 days a week and you're burnt out and there's nothing left. Again, back to a vehicle, how well does a vehicle run on empty? Not so well, right? And we may be living on empty, where our tank is on empty and we're burning out. I think sometimes there's sin in other areas of our life that actually goes to burnout. We're burnt out. We're just at a place where we're fried and we don't care anymore. And so the end result is adultery. The end result is anger. But you look deeper and you go, well, why are you so angry? Well, I'm just so tired. I'm just so burnt out. You know, sometimes I feel like people commit adultery because they're so burnt out in their life. They're like, this is just a way out. I wanted to blow everything up, right? Because I'm so tired and I'm so exhausted and I'm just looking for something that will end this cycle that I'm in. Well, how about step back and take some rest? It's challenging for me. I'm sure it's challenging for you as well, but worthwhile to be able to rest. Let's jump to chapter 3, verse 17, and we'll get to our last point this evening. God creates Adam and Eve, says, look, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan tempts them, they disobey. God comes and brings correction, and this is the correction he gives to Adam in verse 17 of chapter 3. Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I've commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Last point is work is fallen for now. Work is fallen for now. We are experiencing work in a fallen state. God says to Adam, there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles, you're going to have to work hard, you're going to have to sweat in order to get food, and that's going to be the way it is till you die, right? So what was work like before the fall? It didn't have the thorns and the thistles. It didn't involve the toil that we see today. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, I think this is important for us to press into, is to realize until we go home to be with the Lord, this life is going to be filled with hard work, where there are thorns and thistles, and things don't work out very well. And in that is an opportunity to worship the Lord in our work. But I think a lot of times we're trying to engineer life in such a way where there's no thorns and there's no thistles, and there's going to be thorns and thistles. If you garden and you work hard to prepare the soil and you plant good seed and you water it, your zucchini comes up, your lettuce comes up, but what also comes up? A lot of stinking weeds. I didn't plant those weeds. How did they get in there? They're in the soil. No matter what soil you get, what quality, how much you pay for it, there's weeds in there, and you're going to spend the summer fighting the weeds as well and pulling out the weeds. And that is life. That is work until we go home to be with the Lord. You work hard. You're planting good soil. You're planting good soil. You're preparing good soil and planting good seed. There we go. But yet here are the weeds. keep working. It's going to be that way till we go home to be with the Lord. Let's worship in our work. But it's for now. There is going to be the day when we're glorified and we're with the Lord. I do think there's going to be work in heaven, that God's going to have stuff for us to do. We even look at the millennial reign of Christ, which is 1,000 years, where Christ rules and reigns in Jerusalem. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. If God had work for Adam and Eve before the fall, I think God's going to have work for us in eternity that's glorified just for fun's sake. Just for, like, we get to work with our Heavenly Father. We're going to get to work with each other in a glorified state. How cool is that going to be, right? And all the amazing things that God is going to have for us to do. So this fallen state of work is temporary, and someday we're going to experience the glorified aspect of work where we're going to be with the Lord, and we look forward to that day. So tomorrow, we're going to have an opportunity to apply this, right? As we're doing dishes, as we're making food, as we're doing laundry, as we're pounding the pavement, going to school, going to work, work in the home, work outside the home, and to say, Lord, I want to have your perspective of work, understand why you have given work, and choose to worship in my work. Let's not separate worship and work. We think worship is, I got up, I did my quiet time, I did my devotion, I had my prayer time. That is absolutely worship. It's so necessary. But that's not where worship stops, right? It's maybe where worship started for the day, but then as we go through the day, to continue to worship the Lord, to continue to glorify him. Yeah, we came in here and worshiped tonight, but hopefully this is not the only time of the week that we worshiped. Hopefully this is encouraging us to worship Thursday morning, to worship Friday afternoon when we're at work. And I just want to commend you for all of your hard work unto the Lord. God sees it, and it's a witness to Christ. The number one thing that God is using at our church to bring unbelievers is your testimony in your neighborhoods and your workplace. You guys are inviting unbelievers here, and unbelievers are coming to know Christ as their Savior. That's the testimony of who you are at work. So keep it up, and where the Lord needs to bring conviction and correction, allow him to do that in our lives. And if you've ever gone through a health crisis where you haven't been able to work, it's a good reminder of, Lord, I'm thankful that I can go to work. If you're in the middle of one of those and the health problem is keeping you from work, we love you. We want to pray for you. We want to come alongside of you. If you're unemployed and you're looking for work, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to pray with you. We want to come alongside of you. There's those times when life doesn't go the way we think it will, and there's a crisis in health, there's unemployment, and that's when we get to come alongside of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's stand together and let's pray, and we'll enter into communion. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness. And Lord, would you fill us with the Holy Spirit to allow us to worship you in the midst of our work? We do thank you that you've given us opportunity to work, that you've created us in your image to be able to work. So we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.